Aren't you glad His hand is not shortened? It cannot say. There's not a place that the hand of God can't reach us. Boy, I remember, it percolates my heart a little bit. I remember as a 12-year-old boy that night at Goshen Church when He reached down His hand for me. You know, I'm glad that He's still reaching. It's still the will of God to reach out to men and women, to reach out to boys and girls, families. It's God's will to reach out to churches and certainly to our nation to extend and give us peace in a time of need. I've never seen a time where there's so much turmoil in the lives of people. And that's not, you know, we say people, if we're honest in our own lives, there's so much going on around us. But I'm glad that Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I still love the scripture that says, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I don't know how you feel about him this morning, but I love him with all my heart. I'm unworthy of his grace and his mercy, but I sure am glad to know him and be known of him. If you're here this morning, I want you to know there's help in the Lord. I don't care what your situation is or what you find yourself in. God is able to work where no man can hinder. If you'll just give him a chance to work in your life, he can make all the difference. He can make your life worth living, certainly this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter and the 14th verse. Revelation, the 3rd chapter and the 14th verse. And Jesus is speaking here. You'll notice if you have a Bible that has a red print, these are words that are written in red. These are the words of the Lord, the letter to the church, to the Laodiceans. He said, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. Now, here we see the pronouncement upon the church of Laodicea. They are a church that has certainly fallen away from God. Really, we have a group at this point of people that are meeting together that they know that there is a God, but they do not know Him and are not known of Him. What is the remedy for their situation? And it's found in the 18th verse. And here's what the Lord has laid on our heart. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou may be as rich, and white raiment, that thou may be as clothed, and that thou shalt be, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, as we come to you this morning in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of Jesus. God, I'm so thankful that there is a remedy for our lukewarmness this morning. God, I'm so thankful, Lord, that we say this so often, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Lord, you said, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. Lord, if you bring us a word of chastening this morning, or a word of rebuke, God, we ask also, Lord, send some salve with it. Lord, we know that your word is sharp as any two-edged sword, and it cuts, it divides, and it pierces. But God, we also know that the Spirit of God does not leave us on the roadside, wounded and bleeding and half dead. Thank God there's a salve that the Spirit of God brings into the life and the hearts of men and women, and we're not just left wounded by the Word of God, but we're left broken but yet healed. God, it feels so good to be wounded and broken but yet healed at the same time. God, man cannot do this, but God, you can. God, this morning, Lord, I beg you from the depths of my heart, Lord, and we pray this quite often, break us from ourselves. God, break us from our selfishness. Lord, search my heart and see if there be any evil in me. God, you know me better than I know myself. And now, Lord, let the Word of God have its perfect work and labor in our lives. And God, let it hurt oh so good this morning. God, I thank you, Lord, that there's not a fire we'll go through, but what you won't be with us. Now, God, I pray, Lord, as we enter into this last day, knowing that the coming of the Lord is nigh, ready your church for her flight. God, prepare her, Lord, for that journey she's got to make. Lord, we pray with all of our heart. God, ready us. Lord, we pray for all that are with us, that all would be saved, all under the sound of our voice. And let us labor, Lord, while it's still daylight, for the night comes when no man shall work. God, it'll be everlasting too late to cry then. So while we have opportunity, send your convicting power, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Certainly as we read the scripture and the Lord spoke to the church of Laodicea, let's look at the church of Laodicea for just a moment, because I believe we see her in the day and age that we live all around us. This is a church that was set up in a city that was a trade city. All the routes and all the different roads led into Laodicea. And so all the people from different places, they would merge all their beliefs and all of their religions would meet together in this city of Laodicea. And there began to be a great falling out among the people about what truth really is and what truth really means. Let me say, in the day and age we live, there are those that say there is no absolute truth. They say that truth is like a river. It continues to shift its course. But I want to tell you, according to the Word of God, there is truth, and it is eternal truth. It will stand when the world is on fire. It doesn't matter what the situation is. Truth does not bend to my situation. Truth does not bend to my feelings. The truth don't care about my feelings. The truth is the truth whether I agree with it or not. Amen, amen, and amen. And what the truth will do, the truth can be offensive. The truth can wound us. And sometimes what we need is for the truth to wound us, that God might make us whole and God might heal us. Listen, when you treat cancer, they go into a doctor's office and they begin to give them chemo and radiation, and that almost kills the body. But what it does, it brings the body to the point of death to kill the cancer. And let me tell you what the truth will do in a church. It'll bring the body almost to the point of death, but it'll kill the cancer, that the body might live in the day of the Lord. And one day I'll stand before Jesus Christ and give an account for how I've shepherded you. And oh, I pray I can be able to say, Lord, I kept them in the truth. Well, what is the truth? Listen, the truth is simply this. Man outside of the grace of God is insufficient. Man in his works and man outside of the grace of God is not a righteous creature. He is a sinner and needs a Savior. That is the truth. That is the beginning and the end of it all. There is no compromise upon this point. Now, there are those that say, well, I believe that man inherently is good. Let's look at the Word of God and see what the Word of God says about that. The Apostle Paul said this, I know that in my flesh no good thing dwelleth. Does that not sound like that man in his carnal nature is a sinner? David said, yea, in my mother's womb was I yet conceived in sin. Does that not tell us that man without Christ is a sinner? Listen, Jeremiah, there are people that say, well, that old boy, he's got a good heart. Jeremiah said in the 9th chapter, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it but God? I'm telling you, you may say that old boy's got a good heart, but if he don't know Jesus, he's not going to heaven. Thank God, the truth is, without the blood of Christ, there is no hope. But in Christ, there's hope through the eternal ages, that through his blood, men, women, boys, and girls can go to heaven. There's no other name given under heaven whereby a man must be saved. And man is inherently evil without the presence of an almighty God. But they begin to compromise that. Listen, in the day and age we live, and I love the way Jesus presents himself. He says, these things saith the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Think about how we've compromised in the day and age we live. There are those that say, well, I believe in intelligent design. And you know what you're saying? You're saying, well, I believe there's a creator, but I'm not going to tell you who he is. You're compromising with the truth. The Bible said in the beginning was God. Thank God. Listen, it's not intelligent design. Sure, someone intelligent designed it. Let me tell you his name. His name is God. His son is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father but by me. And it is the will of God that we know him, but we can't know him except through Christ. The church of Laodicea, the church of compromise, the church of political correctness. Oh, thank God it got quiet. That's good. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Oh no, we got to be politically correct. So the church began to accept any doctrine that walked through the door. The church began to accept members any way they would come in. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I cannot and will not baptize anybody who don't have a testimony that they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, saved from their sin. When they've been baptized by the Spirit, then they can be baptized in the water. They said, well, if we'll just adapt society into the church, we can bring them on. Now I'm going to tell you something. We're a chosen generation. We're a holy nation. Thank God we're kings and priests in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't become more like the world and see them saved. We've got to be above that. They said if we'll just become more like the world, we can draw them in. Let me say this. They lost their separation, and you couldn't tell the church member from somebody who had never been saved. Now listen, can people in your life look at you and know that you passed from death unto life? Do you have a testimony? I'm not talking about a testimony in your mouth. I'm talking about a testimony in your life. Listen, if I was trying to convict you of being a child of God and a Christian, is there enough evidence in your life where you could be convicted for being a follower of Christ? We'll just be more like the world and more accepting. And let me say this, God loves everybody. Amen? Listen, but God does not accept our sin. We cannot ask God to bless sin in our lives and expect God's hand to be on our lives. The truth is simply this. He is a thrice holy God. And the only conduit we have and the only way we can get through him is through a mediator that when they're hung between the heavens and the earth, he reached up and took the righteous, thrice holy hand of God and the dirty hand of man and said, I'll become your sin offering that you might know God. Laodicea, the church of compromise, the church of political correctness, What was their opportunity? What was their remedy? I counsel thee to buy of me gold. Try to find. You know why some of our lives have been a fiery furnace? Do you know why some of us are going through the heat right now? It's not because God's angry with you. See, we have a little heat come into our lives. We find ourselves in the furnace and we go, oh, what have I done? You remember Job? Let me ask you this. Was there a time that Job wasn't righteous in the eyes of God? He stayed righteous. His friends kept saying, what have you done, Job, to cause this to happen to you? We know you've done something. He had done nothing. Let me tell you what was going on. God was proving himself to Job, and God was proving Job to the devil. He said, there is a man that won't bow his knee to you, Satan. Can God say that about you? Listen, when we find ourselves in the fire, all we want to do is get out. But sometimes it is a process. The fire's not there to destroy me. It's not there to kill me. It's there to purge me and purify me and give me some of that gold that's been tried in the fire. And so, the fiery trials that have been in your life and the hurts and the pains and the ups and the downs, it's not because God is angry with you. It's simply because God loves you and wants you to know and prove His love to you. Somebody said, I know what God's doing. He's going to prove my faith. Let me say, God knows my heart. God don't have to prove me. Listen, but what God does is He proves His faithfulness. How could you preach this message without getting down in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Amen. I mean, here these boys are. Now listen, let me say this about Laodicea. Back then, domination of the king, well, I say king, he was a ruler at one time of the Roman Empire, and he had made up an image of a beast, and they were to worship it in Laodicea. You know, a lot of people think that book of Revelation are things that are to come. Let me tell you, a lot of that stuff has already happened. That's right. You believe it or not, they had already set up something for them to worship. And listen, the church compromised and said, okay, now listen, when you're in the house of God, live this way and worship God. But when you're out there, you go ahead and you worship that image. I want to tell you, you better love God out there like you love Him in here. You better treat Him out there like you treat Him in here. God goes with us everywhere, and He's not a different God out there than He is in here. He is the same. Amen. And it matters what I do out there. Really, it matters more or as much as what I do in here. Listen, they compromised. You go out there through the week and you can live for the world and you can worship the image. And on Sunday, you can come in here and God's all right with that because it's saving your life. Listen, there were men and women that said, before I do that, I will die. Before I'll compromise with the God of this world, before I'll go out there and worship another God, just go ahead and take. Let me ask you this. Is this salvation you have worth dying for? I'm here to tell you, generations have bled and died and said, yes, it is. And we're no different. If it's worth living for, it's worth dying for. Old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, Nebuchadnezzar, know this. Our king's able to save us. Our Savior, he can save us. Our God, it says, he can save us if he wants to. He has the power. And if he don't, it'll still be all right. But know this, we are not going to bow our knee. We're not going to compromise. There it is. Young people, my babies, I want you to listen to me now. This is where I got to have your attention, because this may not happen in my day. Son, if we live long enough, it'll happen in yours. Because it's already begun a move to stamp out religion in the United States of America. And I know that things have changed and it's relaxed. It's oppressing for a moment. Make no mistake. When it comes back, listen, they're going to gun after the house of God. They're going after our churches. You watch and you wait and you see. It's already entered into their heart. They think if they can wax rid of them Bible-toting, gun-toting Christians, they can do what they want to. And some of you may have to be willing to give your life. And I want to prepare you for that day. I want to tell you it's worth it. There's never been a martyr that died in Christ that when he closed his eyes down here and saw the end of his life, didn't see Jesus face to face. There's not a one of them we could interview. The Apostle Paul or any of them that wouldn't say it was worth it. Death lasts but just a moment, but eternal life is forever and forever and forever. No, we'll not bow our knee. No, this, we'll not bow our knee. Listen, I love the big strong men carried them up. They stoked up the fire, threw them into the furnace. You know the story. He yoked Nebuchadnezzar, said, now wait, we threw three men in bound. But I see four loose and walking around and the fourth one likened unto the Son of God. I'm telling you, you don't have to be bound in the midst of the fires of your life. You can still find liberty. There's still praise and worship in the midst of the fire. Why? God is still God. And in the midst of the fire, I can still sense His presence. Fire has its own work. See, this is, if you ain't a mature Christian, don't you study this out, because it's a harsh reality. God has a work for fiery trials in your life. There's a purpose. You know what? They purge us from the dependency on ourselves. They purge us from the selfishness that we have in our hearts and in our lives. Fire to go. What does fire do? Does fire destroy gold? Let me tell you, fire will never destroy gold. What it does is it melts it and it purifies it. It gets the impurity. If I throw money in a fire, that money, cash money, it'll burn. Houses burn. Cars burn. But there's a gold that when it's tried in the fire, it doesn't burn it. It makes it pure and closer and more like God. And when God looks in it, you can see His reflection. Gold, tried in the fire. Hey, son, look at me. But when I heard you pray the other morning, I want to tell you something. There's something in my heart lay up to. I want you to know, Eli, it matters so. It matters the influence. That's why I'm always on you. That's why I'm always loving on you and hugging on you, because there's something in you. I know you're going to carry this on. I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's why I want to encourage you, because I know one day God's going to require me, my life, and some of these older people. Oh, I got to be careful there, don't I? That snapped me back to the flesh for a minute. We'll be gone, but y'all might still be here, and we're going to depend on you to carry this way out. Adversity reveals the true character of a man or a woman. Kelly Jack, you were here this morning, sir. I know you've been in a lot of battles. You find out in the heat of the battle who has integrity, who has staying power, who's going to have your six and have your back, and you can't find that out without the heat of battle and saying that, I'd rather be in the battle than on the sidelines not fighting.
Amen.
Because one day I'm going to face the Lord. You're going to face Him. What answers are we going to give for the compromise? What answers will we give that'll be sufficient? Brothers and sisters, I would submit to you this morning that it matters more than it ever has. Gold tried in the fire. Some of my family from Ebenezer's here. I'm closing. I had a dream one morning early, 3-4 in the morning. And I come in and I preach this message. You remember me preaching this message maybe 3-4 years ago. Went to bed without a thought on my heart. And in my dream, I'm all around the pumpkin farm and there's fire everywhere. And I can see it coming and it's burning the fields and it's burning our sheds where the tractors are. And right before the fire come, we had went down the ditches and cleaned them out and rolled out big old chunks of gold. Right before the fire come, we were working, cleaning them manna. So we gathered up all the gold and we put it in a wagon, you know, picked it up and pulled it back to the barns. And now everything's on fire. And in my dream, the thought went like this. What are we going to do? Everything is burned to the ground. And in my dream, the thought come to me, thank God for the gold. When this life is over, and everything in my life is but ash, and I go back to the dust of the ground, thank God for the gold. Something got put in my heart that money cannot buy. And I'm going to tell you, without it, you won't see God in heaven. But because of it, we can say, I'm rich. I'm going to declare to you this morning, I'm as rich as a king. You say, Brother Russell, that sure is a bold statement. What are you saying? You got a lot of money? No. You're saying you live in a mansion? No. But I am the son of a king. I've got some friends that I dearly love. I've got a wife. That is the joy of my life. I've got some kids that love the Lord. I've got some churches that I love. They love me. I am rich. You can have all the money in the world and not have Jesus and be poor, blind, wretched, naked, and miserable. But because of Him, I've got all I need. Stand to your feet this morning. Oh, listen. Barry this morning said this during Sunday school, and I couldn't wait for you to say it. I was sitting there going, the process. Coach Nick Saban always said, trust in the process. The Lord, listen, that's a godly statement. We have to trust in the process. Now, here's the problem, okay? Listen, stay with me. We're almost done. I promise. I don't know where you're at in the process. And sometimes in the process of being refined, it gets hard. Sometimes in the process of your relationship with your husband or your wife, it gets hard. Nobody going, amen that. Not with our wives sitting there, are you? God bless you for your honesty. Seriously, it's not always easy. It's a process. We got to be broken of ourselves. Our marriages go through the fire. But you know what? In the end, there's fine gold, and there are too many that give up too soon. Wait on the Lord. He can make her look like a piece of fine gold. Amen. And ladies, you may not believe this, but God can actually do something with him. I'm serious. He really can. But we're in the process. We talk about being on the wheel. Listen, when you're in the process of being melted and you're in the process of being heated in the fire, don't get angry with God, but thank God and know this, something good's going to come out of it. Because God is truth. And let all men, they're the liars. Oh, I love you this morning. Listen, if you're in the process and it's getting hot and you just need to pray, you come pray. If you've never been saved and you don't have gold that's been tried in the fire, you say, "Preacher, I just don't have what you're talking about." I'm telling you, you can have that when God burdens your heart, whenever conviction comes, you can have that. And listen to me now. If you have gold tried in the fire, it's time to pull that out and let people see it in your life. This morning, God's touched your heart. You come ahead. Go ahead. What we got, Steve?
303.
You need to pray. You come pray.